You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, Oscar Perez was able to talk to Samuel Miller McDonald, a journalist, writer and student currently based in the UK for his studies at Oxford. Though talking for over an hour, their discussion around COVID-19 can be understood as a discussion on systems. In the initial weeks of mass shutdowns, false claims of environmental regeneration circulated the media and internet alike. Apparently in Italy, marine life returned to the Venetian canals that have long been polluted by nitrous dioxide, but where the water is now clearer than it has been in 60 years. The lower air pollution, according to one study in China caused by COVID-19, also may save up to 77,000 lives. To this, there was a reactionary groundswell parroting the Matrix agent Smith in identifying us, humans, as the virus that has created Papatuanuku's ills. One tweet from @ThomasSchulz offering Agent Smith's line verbatim has over 297,000 likes at the time of writing. Many in political circles, including Oscar himself, initially pointed at posts promoting COVID-19 as a solution for environmental recovery, be it true or not, as examples of eco-fascism. Miller McDonald unpacks this discourse a little more and touches on the dangers of arbitrarily and incorrectly, labelling political phenomena as such, referencing a recent editorial Miller McDonald wrote for Current Affairs magazine.
I started writing that piece in January before all of this discourse around, like, humans are the virus, that's eco-fascism, was coming up. So that I kind of had to slip a little mention of that into the piece later as it was about to be published. I think a lot of the, like, humans are a virus, those kinds of messages, I think, are misanthropic, you know, they're deeply cynical and pessimistic. Unless they're advocating for authoritarianism or ethno-nationalism, they're not eco-fascism by any reasonable definition of the term. So I, you know, just to clarify that, I think it's important to not just call everything eco-fascism that we think is ugly. But I think the bigger danger is that we let much more powerful institutions that are substantively bringing eco-fascist values into the world, so ethno-nationalist values, ideas of, you know, eliminating surplus populations, ideas of imposing authoritarian responses to emergencies. I think these are all, you know, reasonably under this umbrella of eco-fascism, but they're also under the umbrella of the kind of economic liberalism or settler colonialism that has just been at the heart of, you know, liberal governments for the last 300, 400 years. So in the middle of it, there's a little game in which I have 25 quotes from these heroes, famous, legendary heroes of Western civilization, Charles Darwin, Thomas Jefferson, Winston Churchill, whatever, or whether they're from the manifestos of eco-fascist shooters. And I didn't think I'd be able to find so many, and I didn't think they'd be so racist. But I found just a ton of quotes from these luminaries that we still hold up as heroes and as the greatest intellectual minds of Western civilization. And they're advocating for this kind of social Darwinism. You know, they're advocating for eliminating indigenous people and eliminating populations that are standing in the way of the efficiency of the liberal market. And I think what the danger is in painting eco-fascism as this sort of, like, fringe online incel, you know, whatever phenomenon, is that it can section off those values into this delinquent, scary monster instead of recognizing that those are the values that are held by, you know, the people who run many of the world's biggest governments right now. And I think there's a risk that those governments will be able to sort of keep the ugly, explicit kinds of messages in the, you know, the eco-fascist manifesto at arm's length. And this did happen in the wake of the Christchurch shooting. Kellyanne Conway, the advisor to Trump, went on television and called him he's an eco-naturalist, he's an eco-terrorist, he's crazy, whatever, don't worry about him, when he was inspired by Trump, by Trump's ethno-nationalism. So I think it's not to in any way diminish the real danger of these ideas. It's to the opposite of that, say they're much more prevalent than I think we recognize when we just say it's some eco-fascist on Twitter who's talking about how humans are a virus.
With these values perhaps still prevalent or even protected in many international governments and political structures, Oscar asks Samuel how this has or will shape our continued response to COVID-19 and other crisis-like issues.
I think this issue is really revealing a lot of these ingrained injustices and inequalities and assumptions. And I think it's really illustrating some of the real cruelty of this economic liberal approach to issues, and that can maybe best be illustrated in the UK and the US, where the attitude, at least at the beginning, was we need to not save people's lives because it could harm the economy. We need to not have a lockdown, or we need to not self-isolate for the sake of the stock market. I think that's just the perfect distillation of this idea that the thing that matters most is the health of the markets. I think one positive is that I think people have generally looked at that response and realized how cruel it really is. And I think part of what we need to be doing right now is saying that cruelty is not new. Trump coming along and saying, let's sacrifice the elderly for the stock market, that's not a new phenomenon. That's been happening for decades. The austerity in the UK has been happening for decades and has been killing tens of thousands of people for decades. This isn't a new ugly thing. Again, like eco-fascism isn't a new ugly thing. These are policies and results that have been killing people for a very long time. And I think if this can illuminate that in a way that allows us to think about an alternative and figure out some better way to be ordering our economies and societies, then that will be great. Again, I think it's still kind of a toss-up which way it goes. Do these aspiring authoritarians take this emergency and really run with it and use it as an opportunity, as Orban has just done, to seize unlimited or indefinite power? Or do we use this as an opportunity to remove aspiring authoritarians from power and completely form those power structures? And at this point, I don't know. It seems like it could go either way. And I don't see a lot of indication at the moment that it's going to go the good way. It seems like most things are kind of stacked against the positive response to this. But, you gotta keep a little bit of faith that remains possible.
That was Oscar Perez speaking to Samuel Miller McDonald, and you can find the rest of their very lengthy chat online in the BCasts.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/BCasts.